And also thank my guest, Lance James, who is with us, an international expert on malware, and the gentleman who's in studio with us on a frequent basis, and we're delighted to have him with us today, Richard Steenen, along with the rest of our crew here. Richard, your new book called There Will Be Cyber War. Richard, we mentioned, I want to bring the conversation back to your book and to the premise of the book, which is that over the years, since about the mid-1990s with the Clinton administration, you start with the Navy, that we have built, our military has built itself a network-centric system of defense, which has initially was making it able to be able to move very quickly and move large groups of people quickly, but now makes us vulnerable in a very unique way. Talk about that vulnerability, and then what do you see as some of the solutions to that?
Yeah, and that networking was all about speed to command, the idea mm-hmm. that you could just, you know, set up a video teleconference, share some PowerPoint slides, and decide what your plan of action was.
Rather than waiting for a teletype, you know, to come by or whatever it may
be. And I loved writing that part of the book because it reminded me of when Gary and I were back in business starting ISPs, and we both experienced that.
Oh my gosh. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. This internet is amazing. It's going to change the world. Well, one General Archie Clemons in the Navy happened to be the IT guy for the 7th Fleet, and he recognized that at the same time. He was carrying a Apple MacBook around with him. It had all of 40 megs of hard drive on it. I have to apologize. I've got a presentation on this, and I have to apologize to people that I can't send it to them because it is 40 megabytes. That's the PowerPoint presentation, bigger than Admiral Clemons' laptop. And he was doing amazing things with it. And during the deployment of the 7th Fleet to the Straits of Taiwan, he had networked the ships he was on, so battleship that was his command ship and the aircraft carriers and all the land bases for the Pacific Fleet. And he had basically the Joint Chiefs on the other end of the line as they planned what they're going to do. And they were using satellite communications and probably insecure TCP/IP connections. And they basically came up with their plan right away. And at one point, he was showing a PowerPoint presentation, probably the first time in history that that was done over a network. Mm. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs said, I want everybody to be able to use this in every combatant command. And that was the beginning of network-centric warfare.
Oh, okay.
15 years later, they've had all the fun and excitement and advantage of mm-hmm. getting on the internet without taking the precautions.
The precautions.
And we all learned this in 2000 to 2003. We had the advantage of a bunch of hackers. Mm-hmm. The kids first, and then the cyber criminals. And now the government, of course, has experienced nation-state hacking for espionage. So I've started to look at, you know, what could you do to fix this problem? And it is horrendously expensive. We have to go back and review software on systems. The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter has 9 million lines of code on it. And I've been asking and haven't gotten any numbers back from anybody about how difficult that would be to, you know, mm-hmm. go through and do a code review, actually look for vulnerabilities. But the Air Force did a little test on a couple million lines of code that they had, and they found a critical vulnerability on average every 80 lines of code.
Oh, my Lord.
That means on the Joint Strike Fighter, there's probably 120,000 critical vulnerabilities. So it's just up to the attackers to figure those out. So we've got quite a
And there are no dummies to start with.
No. And now we're lucky the new Defense Authorization Act that's before Congress has $200 million set aside to do a supposedly complete code review of everything in the next 2 years. Not even going to touch the expense of doing that code review.
No, I wouldn't think so. That's not a lot. $200 million.
$200 million isn't very much. It'll be enough to identify
a few toilet seats. That's about it.
One for every submarine.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
So my question I have for you, Richard, is that we always have these great ways of encoding things and security and stuff like that, and then you talk about code reviews to find vulnerabilities. What's faster, code reviews for finding vulnerabilities, or somebody paying someone to go inside and give you the information?
Yeah, so great question. As a matter of fact, you know, that would, in talking to Lance James, you know, that is the one difference between who's targeting you. right? Because a cyber criminal in Russia probably isn't going to hire somebody to infiltrate your network, whereas China or Russia definitely would.
Mm.
So it's, you know, in the past, it's been the infiltration. And we've, you know, of all the recent espionage cases where we've arrested people at the airport, they've had CDs full of data on them. I think in the last 3 or 4 years, it's switched where it's actually less expensive, less risky. Because there's less attribution.
Lance, Lance James is with us, by the way. Mention him. Lance, we don't have much time, and I'm asking for your, something that may be almost ridiculous, but how would you suggest, do you see, as somebody who has hunted down the bad guys, how do you see us protecting ourselves when we've got this network-centric approach that seems to be so fallible?
Well, it's kind of funny because when I preach about this, and Richard, you're dead on. It's the software code issue is one big problem. Two, it's also depending on the software type, like the software programming language. 9 million lines of code can mean something easier than you think, or it can actually mean a lot harder, right? There's a lot, depending, mm-hmm. there's a lot of problems there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But before that, it's like one of the biggest things that have led us here, and what you were just talking about insiders. We've had insiders sitting inside, you know, like when it comes to nation state and things like that. They've had those for 20 years. We call them sleepers back in the day, right?
Yes.
You know, and they're not, that concept hasn't stopped. Heck, some of the leaks that you might be seeing coming out may be driven by nation state, and it looks like it's ideology, hint, hint. But at the same time, like, the solution is really kind of like you got to go back to some of those basics. But I mean, it's like hard to say, hey, how do we suddenly do that? But I mean, Richard was saying the same thing. It's like you're going to have to go back and spend some money and figure out how much it's going to really cost. Because I always joke, we might just, by 2030, we're saying, okay, guys, we're shutting the internet off. This is, we tried. We gave it its try. But on the other hand, my question is, for instance, you look at the recent breaches that have occurred that are targeting secrets or personnel that have secrets. Why do we store that on that website in that obvious area in the first place?
Like, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's another question I have. It's like, you know, you look at, you know, people talk about Tor, the Onion Router, which is an anonymous protocol. And the idea is that they can, you know, you can get information, but it doesn't have to be in the place you expect it to be. It can be anonymized and it can be this and that. Why aren't our infrastructures actually hiding or breaking up our secrets and putting them in places that not, when you do the reconnaissance, you'd be surprised. You go, when the bad guy does their heist and they look in the vault, they go, the money's not here. What happened? That's the type of approaches we start to have to thinking is not so methodologically simple in our linear defense strategies, but we have to think, can you attack something you don't know is there? And can we trick them or decoy them? They're, you know, this
yeah.
These tricks are used in counterinsurgencies, right?
Lance,
in, you know, those things as well.
There is a tremendous amount more that needs to be talked about here, and we have just run plumb out of time. Lance, is there a way that we could have people refer back to you, a website or an organization they go back to find out more about your perspective?
Sure. My personal site is www.unit221b.com. That's UNIT221B, as in 221B Baker Street, .com. My Twitter handle is @LanceJSSC, so they can hit me up there as well. And I have I'm easy to find on LinkedIn as well.
All right. Unit 221B. I love it. Baker Street. Thanks, Lance, so much for being with us and for pitching in on this conversation as well. Take care.
Happy Fourth, Lance.
All right. And Richard, of course, the book is called There Will Be Cyber War. Much more in that conversation there. Folks, this is a serious deal. And I think well worth looking into because we're talking about the future security of the United States. There Will Be Cyber War is the book. You can find it on Amazon. We have links to that on our homepage along with a lot of other ones. Richard, thanks so much for being with us again.
Thank you as always, Foster.
We run out of time before we run out of conversation here.